Take a minute and just say hi to everybody. Thank you.
Well, what a way to greet everyone. Happy 4th of July, right? Amen. Amen. Let me start off by acknowledging some of the visitors that are visiting here with us for the first time. If I don't see you, we'll start on this side. I met Hannah today. Hannah is from Florida. She's part of the mission team that went to Japan with Sister Ruthie. So Hannah, you want to stand up and say hi? And then moving on to the back, I met Sister, would you want to introduce Sister Susie? Is she here? She's not her first time today, huh? Is she? No? Is that her first time in church, or is he? What? She's been here before. Sue? Yes, Sue.
No. It was Nostradamus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. First time for me then. First time for me to meet her. Okay, how about in the back? Anyone visiting for the first time in the back? First time visitors? Sister Mary?
They're not first time.
Okay. Okay. Welcome again then. Welcome again to Chula Vista Well Baptist Church. Okay. Oh, okay. Welcome to Chula Vista Well Baptist Church.
Okay, let's all stand as Brother Raul comes forward for the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. Let's just take a moment for prayer. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, you heard the need for this church for a pastor, and you answered the call. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending us Pastor Jorge. Bless him, anoint him with your spirit, give him guidance and wisdom. For just like Isaiah, he heard the call, and he said, "Here am I, send me." We thank you for Pastor George, Lord. Bless him and his family. And now we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17, and then jump to chapter 4, 1 through 5. "But as for you, continue the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from which you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth. Be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." In Jesus' name, we thank you for all these messages and the word from Paul to Timothy and to our pastor. It applies to all who wish to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Brother Johnny, you have a special for us?
Good morning, everyone. I don't have much to say this morning, but I would like to mention that if Oh Glory could speak this morning, she may say something like this, please. " As I watched old Glory waving in the courthouse square, she seemed so all alone and fragile, even in despair. The star that lost its glimmer, oh, the stripes their majesty. As I thought, what is the matter? It seemed old Glory spoke to me. Bring back glory. For myself, I cannot stay. Bring back the glory. We need the help of God's strong hand. Can't you hear old Glory cry? Can you feel the grief and pain? America, bring back the glory. Smile from God above. For certain we have had our faults, but that's what I'm speaking of. But the cross and flag together, oh, they sure make quite a pair. Though the cross was invisible, I'll still know that it's there. Bring back love. By myself I cannot stay. Bring back the glory. We need the help of God's own hand. Can't you hear old Glory cry? Can you feel our grief and pain? America, bring back the cross again. Our clean to that old rugged cross and explain this Sunday for Christ. Bring back the cross. By myself I cannot stand. Bring back the cross. We need the help of God's strong hand. Can't you hear old Glory cry? Can you feel our grievous pain? America, bring back the cross again. Bring it back again.
Okay, let's turn to number 82, and this will be our offertory hymn. When upon life's billow you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Number 4.
So amidst a conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many Brother Gary?
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We thank you, Dr. Hugh, we have to be in my house. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom of this country to serve you. We pray that you give this offering to be used by and take the service in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. across the ocean white and blue. They carried their cross, not carrying the loss, so other souls could hear the truth. But the lights grow dim in America, and sin will be our nation's doom. We need more preaching in America for Jesus is coming soon. Who will go to America? Land of the red, white, and blue. Who will go to America? Tell me, brother, why not you? Our Father sends his children to go to every land, to the islands of the uttermost, to find forgotten men. But the most forgotten mission field is within our country's shores. So who will go to America? She needs Jesus Christ the Lord. Who will go to America? Land of the red, white, and
amen. So a year ago today, I think it was actually July 3rd, was our pastor's first message as our pastor. So it's his anniversary. So, Pastor. Thank you.
Well, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Yes, sir. Oh, thank you, Brother Roger. Okay. Please take a note of the bulletin that's showing our evening services. Our new evening services will be at 5:30 instead of 5 o'clock, and the Wednesday night will be on Thursday night instead of Wednesday, and see how that works out for us. So please take a note of that on your calendar. The evening service is now at 5:30, and the Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting is also at 5:30 on Thursday. Well, in preparing for this message, I was going to talk about something that had something to do with 4th of July. In my prayers, in my devotions, in my first year of preaching that I had just concluded, I've learned a couple of things, and one of the things that I've learned is that when it comes to preaching the Word of God and what topic to discuss and to talk about for every occasion, for every day, I've learned that the Word of God cannot be dictated by the occasion. It cannot be dictated by the holiday. It cannot even be dictated by what I want to say. what the preacher wants to say, but it must be fully guided and fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that is the reason why I've decided that from here on out in my in this ministry, I will preach expositionally from the Scripture and just allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak. Having said that, please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, if you would stand up to honor the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. Once you find 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, I want you to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So just put a bookmark on 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. But our message this morning will be from 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll be reading just nine verses. But put on your seatbelts, because that does not mean I'm only going to be talking about nine verses. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 3, say amen once you're there. Just follow me along as I read the verses from verses 1 through 9, and then I'll ask Brother David Shandell to ask God to bless our message this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. So I want you to underline that phrase. And there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli lay down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And heard the Lamb of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called you not. I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for the second time. For thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That is the title of this message this morning. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Brother David, would you ask God to bless this message this morning?
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of worshiping you in this house today, Lord. Truly, we are unworthy to worship you, Lord, but we thank you for the opportunity to open our mouths and worship you, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, as we come here, we are a needy people waiting to hear from you.
Yes.
Lord, waiting to hear what you've given your servant for this service, Lord. I pray that you will help us to have open ears and open hearts to receive the word that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you will bless our pastors, you preach us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message and most of my messages is oftentimes found in the text. The title of this message for this morning is Speak, Lord, Thy Servant Heareth. But if we had a billboard, I would entitle this message, Stop Talking, Start Listening. Stop talking, start listening. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And notice, And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. We come to this part of the book of 1 Samuel, which I would consider one of my favorite chapters in the book of 1 Samuel. And right off the bat, you'll understand why it is one of my favorite chapters. Well, verse 1 opens up with the most important thing I believe in the life of a Christian today, and that is the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 119, verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." You know, one thing that this America needs today is to go back to the word of the Lord. If there's one thing that every state, every city, every American family today needs, it is to go back to the word of the Lord. Now notice the verse says, the word of the Lord was precious. It was precious. And here's why. Because there was no open vision, according to verse 1. Because there was no open vision. Now, when you see that phrase, the word of the Lord, I want you to distinguish or differentiate that from an open vision. Here's what I mean. When you see the small letter word, that pertains to the written word of God. I know that that is different from the capitalized word, which pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch the difference. Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1 real quick. John chapter 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W. "And the Word," capital W, "was with God. And the Word," capital W, "was God. The same was in the beginning with God." But in our text, what we see is a small letter W, meaning to say it's talking about not the personified word, but the written word of God. Now, by the writing of this 1 Samuel, we know that the whole Bible has not yet been canonized. So he must be talking about something that was written before times. And needless to say, 1 Samuel was talking about, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. Those are the only books that he had in his hand. And one thing that he says about the books of Moses, which he considered the word of the Lord, well, it was precious. It was precious in those days. In Psalm 138, verse 2, go to Psalm 138, verse 2 with me. Let me establish a background and a context for us this morning before I get to the message, before I get to the preaching. Look at Psalm 138, verse 2. Why is the word of the Lord called precious? Look at Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2, you will find in your Bible, it says this, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for thy truth." But after that colon, you know what you will find? "God has magnified his word above all his name." And that's important to understand, because in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, you and I know that there is no name above every other name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of" who? "Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and in things in earth and things under the earth." Oh, there is no other name above the name of Jesus Christ. But in Psalm 138, verse 2, God himself lifts up his word above his name. That's why in verse 1 it says that the word of the Lord was precious. Here's the first point from verse 1. God is inseparable from his holy word. God is inseparable from his holy word. You cannot know God apart from his word. The more you know his word, the more you'll know him. John chapter 5, verse 39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." What testifies of God? The word of God does. The word of God is inseparable from his word. But here's the problem. Within that same verse that lifts up the word of the Lord is the phrase, "was precious in those days." And pastor, well, what is wrong with that phrase? Well, what is wrong with that phrase? It is the past tense, "was." You understand the meaning of the word "was precious in those days"? It means that it is no more precious today. But there, by the writing of this text of 1 Samuel chapter 3, he's remembering a time when the word of the Lord was, past tense, precious. That when you get to 1 Samuel chapter 3, I can argue, and I will argue, that the word of the Lord was no more precious when you get to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look at Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12. Look at Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12. Look at this. Amos chapter 8. David, can I get some water? Amos 8, verses 11 to 12. I want you to pay attention to your Bible. Amos says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." And you're thinking of famine as in hunger and thirst for material things. But Amos chapter 8 says, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of what? A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. It was a prophecy by Amos. You know, it's the sad truth. Thank you. The sad truth about Israel during the time of Samuel was this. And it is the same sad truth that holds true about this country today. Let me say it again. The sad truth about Israel at the time of this writing is the same truth that holds true about our country today. And that truth is that the word of the Lord was precious. The word of the Lord was precious. There was a time in Israel when the word of God was held dear and precious. In like manner, there was a time in England, there was a time in the United States of America when the word of the Lord was held precious. Was no more. Today, the word of God is nothing but an object of scholarly textual criticism. Today, the word of God is nothing but an academic endeavor. Today, the word of God is just a way for those wanting to be called educated doctors to obtain a PhD. My question to you today, Christian, is the word of the Lord still precious in your life? The word of the Lord was precious in those days. Look at verse 1 again. There was no open vision. There was no open vision. Now God, the way God spoke to men is in this manner. From Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy and Joshua, God spoke to men through the ancients and the patriarchs. Go to Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 26. Ezekiel 7, 26 says, "Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet." But notice what the word of God says in Ezekiel. "But the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients." Oh, God used to speak through men, through the patriarchs, and through the priests. But then there came a time when God needed another avenue. In Psalm chapter 74, verse 9, and after God spoke to the patriarchs, he then began to speak to the priests. But then the priest perished, as we saw in the life of Eli, and as we will see in the life of Samuel. So God needed another way to communicate with men. And so he began to call prophets. But then even then in Psalm chapter 74, verse 9, go to Psalm 74, verse 9. So first, initially God spoke through the patriarchs. Then God spoke through the priests. They fell. And then in Psalm 74, verse 9, look at this. "We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. The office of the prophet also disappeared. Now go to Hebrews chapter 1. So God spoke through the patriarchs. God spoke through the priests. God spoke through the prophets, but they all fell. So in Hebrews chapter 1, look at this. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, that's your patriarchs, by the prophets, but they all fell. So in verse 2, he says, hath in these last days spoken unto us finally by his Son. You see how God speaks to men? God spoke to man initially through the patriarchs, then through the priests, then through the prophets. But since they all fell, God now speaks only through Jesus Christ and through his written word. There was no open vision. Look at verse 2 now. We're only in verse 2. Verse 2 says, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Three things I want you to look at in this verse are these. First of all, Eli was laid down in his place. In other words, he had reached a point in his ministry when he was broken, he was tired, and as a matter of fact, he was aged. He was aged. In the life of this minister of God, this priest of God, by the name of Eli, he had reached a point where in his ministry, in his service to God, he had reached a point when he was broken. He was broken. He was just tired. He got old, and he could no longer continue the work of God. He was wearied out as a saint, according to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And then secondly, not only was he broken, in verse 2 it says that his eyes began to wax dim. He began to have a blurry vision. He began to have a blurry vision. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 15. Here's what happens to Eli. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, just the next chapter over. Chapter 4, verse 15. Now Eli was 98 years old. And his eyes were, what does that say? Dim, that he could not see. So first Eli was broken, and then Eli began to have his vision blurred, and then Eli's vision was completely blinded. Look at the verse again. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. I'm reminded of a text in Mark chapter 8. How many of you remember the story of that blind man that Jesus Christ healed when he picked up some mud, spat in his eyes, and began to rub the eyes of that blind man? Here's what Mark chapter 8, verse 23 to 25 says. When the blind man looked up, he said, I see men as trees. He had a blurry vision. He could see, but he could not completely see. He could see the figures of men as if they were trees, but he could not tell who they were. That's the characteristic of a blurry vision. You have some type of a vision, but it's not a clear vision. And how many of you remember what happened to Isaac when he was old? In Genesis chapter 27, there came a time in the life of Isaac when his eyes were dim, that he could not see, when it was time for him to bless Jacob and Esau. How many of you remember what happened? Jacob, that crazy, foolish guy, he put on fur all over his skin and pretended to be Esau, but Isaac, because his eyes were dim, because his vision was blurred, he could not tell. Oh, he touched the skin of Jacob, and he felt the fur, and he said, oh, is that really you, Jacob? Because I can't see, my eyes are blurry, I don't know if it's you. And then In reality, it wasn't Jacob. It wasn't Esau. It was Jacob, right? And how about in the life of Isaac, when he was blessing the sons of Joseph with the names of Ephraim and Manasseh? In Genesis chapter 48, the Bible says, now the eyes of Israel were dim for age so that he could not see. Joseph brings his two sons by the names of Ephraim and Manasseh. How many of you remember them? Remember how Manasseh was the older son and Ephraim was the younger son? And so when Joseph brings his two sons to his father Isaac, what did he do? Joseph places Manasseh on the right hand, remember that? Of Isaac to bless him. He's the firstborn son. And he places the left hand unto the younger by the name of Ephraim. Why? Why was he able to do that? Because Israel could not see. Could he not? His eyes was blurred. But you remember what he did. He did something like this. Oh no, I know what I'm doing. I can't see, but I know what I'm doing. I'm going to switch you over here because the younger shall be greater than the older. Remember that story? But at that time, the eyes of Israel was dim. You know, blurry vision leads one to make mistakes and accidents. If you're on the road and you can't see the road because of the fog, because of the dirt on your dashboard, you better not be driving until you clean it up. Because a blurry vision leads to mistakes and accidents. But even worse than a blurry vision is a blinded vision. Is a blinded vision. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus Christ said about the Pharisees, let them alone, for they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, blindness can lead to destruction. How many of you that are that can't see would attempt to get in the car and begin to drive on the freeway? Yeah, you shouldn't. And you better not. Why? Because a blinded vision leads to destruction. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, what does the Bible say? Where there is no vision, the people perish. And here we are faced with the first problem with this man who was supposed to be called the man of God by the name of Eli. He had lost his vision. And I wish it was only his physical vision that was lost, but you and I know that it wasn't just his physical vision that was lost, it was his spiritual vision that was lost. Look at verse 3 now. How do I know that? Look at what happened in verse 3. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Big problem. Big problem for the lamp of God inside a temple to go out. Why? Look at Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. One of the responsibilities of Eli was to keep that lamp burning. Look at Exodus 27, verse 20. Are you there? Exodus 27, verse 20 says this. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. Here's the thing about the lamp of God that was inside the temple of the Lord. Israel was told and the high priest was told to keep that lamp of God burning. Problem is, the man who was supposed to keep that light burning, he lost his vision. And because he lost his vision, he had gone blind, the lamp of God went out. You see the problem there? When there is no more burning lamp inside the temple of God, when there is no more burning inside the house of God, that house of God will die. With the rarity and the gradual disappearance of the Word of God in verse 1. What followed was the burning of the lamp of God in the temple. Right after the Word of God had become precious or rare, When the Word of God began to gradually disappear, it was inevitable for the lamp of God, the fire in it, to follow. Here's what I mean. When God's people lose the Word of God and its power, what follows is the burning of the Holy Spirit being gone from among God's people. If I can simplify it, it's like this. When there is a precious word, there is a burning lamp. When there is no precious word, there will be no burning lamp. I'll tell you, Chula Vista Baptist Church, the way to bring back the burning of the Holy Spirit in the church is nothing but through the preaching of the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Isaiah chapter 30, verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee. But then it says, still ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on an hill. There's one thing I learned when you preach the word of God, you lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That is the reason why I quote a lot of verses in my preaching. Because it is not what I have to say to you, but what God is trying to tell you through His holy word. I realize this, that as long as I keep preaching from the word of God, I am lifting the name of Christ. And once the name of Christ is lifted up, every Christian that hears it becomes a beacon, becomes an ensign, becomes a light that is set up upon a hill. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." See, your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, they will see and begin to wonder why you shine. They will. But how do you shine? You cannot shine if you are not walking with the Word of God, if you're not reading it, if you're not considering the Word of God precious. Amen. Verse 7. Let's jump over to verse 7. I'm actually not at the message yet. Look at verse 7. Just going from verse to verse. Verses 4 through 6 we'll skip and we'll join it with verse 8 and 9. But skip down to verse 7 for now. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Now, make no mistake, Samuel was a saved man. It is not like the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, which what was said of them in chapter 2. Verse 12, how many of you remember? The word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 says that the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Now, when you see this same phrase about Samuel not yet knowing the Lord, don't make the mistake that Samuel was not a saved man. Oh, yes, he was. But the problem was the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed unto him. Now go back to verse 4. "And he ran unto Eli and said," here comes the discourse of God's call. Verses 4, 5, and 6, and 8. "And he ran unto Eli." Verse 4. "The Lord God called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.'" At this time, this child Samuel began to hear the word of God. As a matter of fact, four times you will find in this text, he said, upon hearing, he said, "Here am I." But notice the difference between each of them, each of these phrases. Verse 4 says that the Lord of God called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." "And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.'" You know what's going on here? Samuel hears the word of God. No doubt it was the word of God. No doubt it was God that was calling him. But notice how Samuel makes a mistake of thinking that the voices that he heard was not God's words. It was Eli's words, he thought. So Samuel runs up to Eli and said, "Here am I, Eli, here am I. I'm right here. I heard you call me." And then Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And then the child Samuel runs back to his tent and falls back to sleep. And then God calls him again for the second time and the third time. He says, "Samuel." And he runs back to Eli. And when he gets to Eli, Eli says, "I didn't call you." But by the third time, is it not? By the third time, when Samuel hears the word of the Lord, and Eli perceived in verse 8 that the Lord had called him. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. The third time that Samuel went unto Eli, Eli figured out that someone was calling Samuel. That it wasn't him. He perceived, the Bible says, that the Lord had called the child. Now here's the thing about mankind. Number one, God called Adam. How many of you remember the story? God called Adam. When they were in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, you know what God's call to Adam was? "Where art thou? Where are you?" And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God's first call to man was, "Where are you? Where are you?" The first question to every Christian is, "Where are you in your life today? Are you where God wants you to be?" And here's the second call, God's call unto Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, how many of you remember when Moses gets called by God and he sees that burning bush? And he tells them, "Take off your shoes, for the place where thou standest is holy ground," he said. Here's the second call to man. The first call to man was, "Where are you?" The second call to man is this: "Where is God in your life? Where is God in your life? Are you standing on holy ground?" But just as God called Adam and just as God called Moses, did you know that God calls every Christian? God calls every Christian. Romans 1:7 says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 12, "Called you unto his kingdom and glory." 1 Corinthians 1:9, "By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son Jesus." 1 Corinthians 7:15, "But God had called us to peace." You see, every Christian is called by God. People say, "Oh, I'm not called by God. Only the preacher is called by God." Oh, no. If you are saved today, if you are a believer today, if you are a Christian today, God has a calling for your life. God has a calling for your life. Galatians 1:15 says, "And called me by his grace." Question, are you a God-called Christian? Have you ever heard the calling of God in your life? 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Are you a God-called Christian? Let's move on to our text. Let's close with this. Look at verse 9 now. Here comes the message. After the exposition is the message. Look at verse 9. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." By the way, notice how God is a God of a second chance. And God is a God of a third chance. You say, "Oh, Pastor, God can never use me because I messed up in my life. God can never call me because God, I made some horrible mistakes in my life." But now to notice how God did not call Samuel once, God called him three times. God is a God not only of a second chance, but of a third chance. Now Samuel, verse 9 again. Therefore, verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. In verse 9, notice what Eli tells Samuel. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down. Go lie down. Wow. What kind of commandment is that? What kind of order is that for someone who's supposed to be serving God? Eli tells Samuel, go lie down. But you see, that's important to understand, because it is not until you lie down, it was not until Samuel laid himself down that he was able to hear the one who was truly calling him. Here's the message. It's just one message. I found out the reason why Christians today are unchanged by the preaching of the Word of God are these. Here's the message. The reason why Christians today are unchanged by the preaching of the Word of God, number one, it is because of failure to hear the Word of God. Failure to hear the Word of God. Samuel was able to hear the Word of God because he was in the right place. He was where he was supposed to be. Let me say it again. Samuel was able to hear the Word of God because he was in the right place. He was where he was supposed to be. Have you heard the Word of God? You say, I'm not asking you if you've been to church. I'm not asking if you've listened to a sermon. I'm not asking if you're a member of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church or any church. I'm asking you, have you heard the Word of God? Have you heard from God? Have you? You see, you can come to church and listen to a sermon. You can even be a part of a church and listen attentively. But the question is, have you heard from God? Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To hear the Word of God, your attitude towards preaching should be, look at what Samuel says in verse 9. Here's the right attitude. In order to hear the Word of God, whether you're inside a church or outside of the church, here's the right attitude. Look at what Samuel says. If he call thee, that thou shalt say, Eli tells him this, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. In verse 10, Samuel says the exact same words. He says to God, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, the reason why Christians today do not hear from God? Oh, yes, you hear preaching. You're in church. You're hearing preaching. But the reason why you are not hearing from God is because you're not telling God to speak to you. If every Christian would only tell God, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, I tell you. It does not matter who's preaching behind the pulpit. It does not matter how old or how young. It does not matter how eloquent or how broken English he has. If the attitude of every congregation, of every Christian today, when you hear the Word of God is, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It does not matter. Would you tell God, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? Secondly, not only is there a failure to hear the Word of God, secondly, there is a failure to hear beyond the preacher. The failure to hear beyond the preacher. When Samuel heard the voice of God, he thought Eli was the one speaking. Right? Three times Samuel heard the word of God, but for those three times, he thought that Eli was the one that was speaking. Sometimes the word of God is mistaken as the words of men. You know, nowadays in a society, you know, we live in a consumer-oriented society. We treat the preaching and teaching of the word of God as a product. You know, one that you can choose and shop for. You want to find the best deal in town, the one that has the most value for the price. We treat preaching and the teaching of the Word of God as if it's an item that you can do without and choose other items with. Let me echo the words of the late Dr. James Lentz. Here's what he said. Preaching is more than a delivery. It is more than an outline. It goes beyond the flesh. It goes to the very soul of man and convicts him of his sin and mends him of his misery. And then he says, the message is more important than the messenger. You've got to hear beyond the preacher. You have to look, you've got to look beyond who's behind this pulpit. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. There's that failure to hear beyond the preacher. And then thirdly, the failure to hear and focus on God in the preaching. The failure to hear and focus on God in the preaching. Notice that's exactly why Eli tells Samuel, Samuel, you want to hear the word of God? I want you to lie down. What happens when you're laying down? What happens at night when all the music is turned off, when the television is turned off, when your family had to stop talking to you, when there was no one there? Just you and God. The way, Christian, if you want to hear from God today, if you want to make, let me use this phrase, if you want to make the most out of preaching, you've got to consider the message to be greater than the messenger. You've got to lie down and turn off everything that is around you and assume and think that it is God that is speaking to you. You've got to stop talking. You've got to start listening. Have you ever tried to communicate with someone? You're trying to tell him something, and while you're talking to this individual, he's talking over you. How many of you are like that? How many of you hate that? When you're trying to convey, you're trying to carry on a conversation with somebody, I'm trying to tell you something, but you keep talking over me. And we would get upset, and we would tell that person, please shut up. Shut up first, let me say something, right? Why? Because you will never hear if you're talking. Stop talking. Start listening. But that is exactly how we treat God when you come to the church today. That is exactly how we treat God when we're listening to the preaching of the Word of God. You're still talking. You've got to stop talking and start listening to the Holy Spirit of God. When we were at the family camp over the weekend, by Wednesday, I found out that there was no cell phone signal in that city. How many of you are like me? You could not live without your cell phone. The whole world would shut down if there was no cell phone. And I looked at it as, oh no, it's the end of the world. How can I check my emails? How can I check my text messages? How can I call 911 in case of an emergency? There is no cell phone. And I thought the world was about to end because I had no cell phone signal. But you know, in the absence of that cell phone signal, in the absence of technology, I was forced to focus on God. I was forced to look at my Bible. I was forced to look at the nature that God created for me to enjoy. By Thursday, that wasn't enough for God. A car drives through the street. A bear crosses in front of the car. The car hits the pole and shuts down the electricity throughout the whole entire town. By 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock on Thursday, it was pitch black in that town. And so I thought, okay, I thought it was bad enough that there was no cell phone signal down. Now there is no electricity. There was no electricity. We tried to jump in the shower to get some hot shower. When there is no electricity, there's no hot shower. We open up the fridge to check on the food that might spoil. When there is no electricity, how many of you know your fridge will not work? Amen? You turn on the light switch. Without electricity, there won't be any light. But I tell you, in that darkness, when there was no electricity, when there was no technology, I looked at the night, I looked at the skies, I see the stars. That allowed me to just focus. That entire night of Thursday, we just slept all night. As a matter of fact, I woke up in the middle of the night, it was pitch black, and I thought it was 6 o'clock in the morning. When I looked at my watch, it was 12 midnight. But one thing I learned from this wilderness experience of ours, I got a chance to read 1 Samuel chapter 3. When I get to verse 9, in the absence of technology, in the absence of electricity, God spoke to me. And that's the message that you hear today. But you see, what is necessary in order for a Christian, for everyone in this room today, to hear the word of God is you've got to stop talking and just start listening. Stop talking. Just start listening. Every head bow, every eye closed. Every head bow, every eye closed. This is a piano place, and we have an altar call. Christian, have you heard the word of the Lord? And is it precious in your sight? Is it precious in your sight? How do you know that God is calling me? How do I know that? How am I supposed to know what to do with my life? You know what you got to do to find the will of God? Stop talking. Just start listening. Stop talking, start listening.